Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180.
Midday 180.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky.
You kick off the hour with some Tennessee Vols headlines and news. Big scrimmage over the weekend. They have some new faces, new names on the board there, appointed by Governor Haslam. Much more to get to right now with Austin Price of VolQuest.com. Austin, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys, and yourself?
Doing well. What news have you been able to gather, bullet points, if you will, from the scrimmage over the weekend?
Well, you know, this team is a work in progress, and we knew that going in. I mean, no one expected this team to come out and be, you know, world beaters right away. I mean, nobody expects them to, you know, to, frankly, be very great, very good this fall. I mean, they expect there to be a lot of growing pains. They're switching over defenses. The offensive philosophy has changed. And so you knew there would be some growing pains. I also knew that no matter how well they did, whether they were unbelievably good or whether they were unbelievably bad, Jeremy Pruitt wasn't going to give you a whole lot of anything after the scrimmage. I mean, that's just going to kind of be his MO. He's going to play things close to the vest. And, you know, he's not going to, you know, talk about players individually. He's not going to, you know, drive up the praise to any particular person. And he didn't drive up the praise to any particular group. I mean, when asked point blank if any group impressed him or did some good things, he said no. So, you know, the standard is set very high to, leave an impression on Coach Pruitt, and so this team will have to continue to work to do so. But individually, talking to some people, Lonte Taylor is a guy that continues to progress, the true freshman from Coffee County, the midterm enrollee, just does some things that, you know, the current group of wide receivers can't, you know. And so with Juwan Jennings out, Tennessee looking for more and more playmakers to go alongside Marquez Callaway and Josh Palmer. It looks like Alante Taylor has kind of ascended on that and has become, you know, a consistent playmaker thus far through the first half of spring ball. And that's a good sign for Tennessee. It's a good sign for Alante. That kid's got a great work ethic, and you knew he would really, really get after it once he got here.
What are the reviews from coaches you've talked to that attended the coaching clinic this weekend with the star-studded list of speakers that Jeremy Pruitt had in town?
Well, they were all very impressed. You know, they liked Coach Vrabel a lot. I've talked to, you know, about a dozen coaches or so, and they all were very impressed by Coach Vrabel. And then really impressed with Jeremy Pruitt and his ability to relate to them, going around the room individually, introducing himself to each person, just being very hands-on. And I think this whole staff has kind of embraced that with the high school coaches in the state, in the area, and then in the region, you know, because they, you know, as we pointed out on here before, and Coach Pruitt pointed out numerous times, you know, seven of them were former high school coaches, and so they really do kind of cherish that time and ability to teach at the high school level. So they were impressed with the overall staff, and then once you got to the scrimmage on Saturday, you know, they were the first to acknowledge Tennessee's got a lot of work to do, but they liked, actually, well, most of them really enjoyed Thursday's practice, where they said that they do a lot of team stuff and a lot of group stuff, not a lot of individual periods, which is a change up. I mean, Butch Jones and company did a lot of individual periods. This staff, not so much. There's a lot of teaching going on and a lot of group teaching through 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 work.
Is Ty Chandler the most irreplaceable part of this offense right now based on what you're seeing?
You know, I don't know. I mean, for the longest time, you just weren't sure, you know, where Ty Chandler stood in the offense, and because, you know, they like these bigger tailbacks, and that's not what Ty is. But I think, you know, what you're saying really kind of, there's some merit to it, Chad, from the standpoint of the offensive line, as long as Trey Smith's not out there, K'Ron Calvert's limited, Chance Hall still coming back from injury. They've had a couple other guys get dinged up with some, you know, some blows to the head, and miss some time that way. So as long as that's happening, they need Ty Chandler because they need that guy that can make somebody miss, because the offensive line's not going to be perfect. The defense is going to get into the backfield, and you need somebody that's going to be able to sidestep a defender, get to the edge, and make a play. And right now, he seems like the only guy that can do that in this backfield, and maybe the only guy all year long, because when you look at the other backs, Tim Jordan, Trey Coleman, Madre London, the grad transfer from Michigan State, when he arrives, are all bigger backs that, you know, maybe can get the one or two tough yards, but having a chance to make somebody miss, I'm not sure they have that in them like Ty does.
Austin Price with VolQuest.com joins us. Austin, I know I was reading Jesse Simonton's piece at VolQuest earlier, yesterday, and he brought up the quote from Pruitt about bad body language, how he could turn, not watch a play during a scrimmage or practice, turn back around, and he could tell you the result of the play without having seen it based on the way his team responded or were walking back to a huddle. How does he go about fixing that, like the body language issue? Is there a way he's going to address it?
I don't know. I think that's something that each individual coach has to find a knack for. And to me, it's not necessarily just Coach Pruitt, but it's the coaches that coach particular positions. It's Terry Fair with the cornerbacks. It's, you know, Will Friend with the offensive line. It's, you know, Tyson Helton with Jarrett Garantano. Because you're right, you know, you want to be able to get that fixed because you want the best body language possible. Because I think that kind of can help exude confidence, you know, even when you don't make a play, you know, each and every time out, you still, you know, showcase the ability, the way you walk, the way you go through things, the way you approach the huddle, come out of the huddle, you know, like the next play is going to be a better play, going to be, you know, the play that gets 15 yards and a first down or a 20-yard touchdown or whatever. And so I'm not sure how he'll address that and how he changes that. But I think more than anything, it's just guys becoming more and more confident, because when you are confident in your own ability and you're confident in what you're seeing and doing out there, and you're not having to, you know, read so much before you react, then I think that, you know, will change how the body language, in my mind anyway, is exuded from each player. Because if you're a confident player coming into the play because you know your P's and your Q's and you've dotted the I's and crossed the T's, then, you know, I think you can be a much better player coming out of the play no matter what the result.
Austin Price with us. Austin, Joseph Norwood from Chattanooga Brainerd, he was going to MTSU until late in the signing period when Tennessee got involved. He ends up going to Knoxville, but now he's back with MTSU. Tell me how that all came about. Was he advised, hey, maybe you should take the Murfreesboro route after all? What went on behind the scenes?
Well, he's a young man that, you know, Coach Pruitt could not talk about on signing day. He was asked specifically about, you know, Joseph Norwood, because he was a unique story, could not talk about it. And that's because, you know, he never signed scholarship papers. He was going to be a blue shirt, which means he was going to, you know, be on full scholarship when he arrived come August, but not before then. And so, and then Tennessee coaches did not visit him in the school, and he did not take an official visit to Knoxville. Those are the kind of the criteria for the blue shirt. And, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, I think Tennessee, the more and more they looked at their situation and the fact that, you know, they're still in it for Terrence Alexander, a fifth-year grad transfer from Stanford, a cornerback. He was at LSU this weekend. It's kind of LSU and Tennessee, the two finalists for him. And then, you know, they took Kenneth George, the JUCO kid, a few weeks ago. I think they felt the need to go in a different direction. And so Joseph Norwood is now back with MTSU and will be a part of their class. And I think they're going to get a great player. I think he's incredibly athletic. I think MTSU is getting a steal. And if he comes in motivated, you know, it would not surprise me with his length and ability that, you know, he's an all-conference top performer for MTSU someday. But it, obviously a little bit of a blow for him. But it's easy to see why, you know, he would have kind of fallen in love with the idea of you know, getting to come and be a part of Tennessee's program. But Tennessee decides to go in a different direction. And Joseph Norwood, though, not left out in the cold. He's got a, you know, full ride and a good chance to get a great education and play football at MTSU.
I know, and we've got Austin Price from VolQuest.com on with us. Austin, I know that you've written a lot about Baylen Buchanan and how he stepped up in that secondary. If Tennessee's secondary is going to be serviceable this year, if they can get by at that position where they're very thin, who's a guy that needs to step up at this point that hasn't taken that next step this spring?
I think it's Sean Schamberger. I mean, I think the staff coming into spring, Chad, felt like he was going to be that guy. They had some high hopes for Baylen Buchanan, who honestly, we go back to the question a couple of questions ago, really kind of lacked the confidence. You know, he started early on, started that one game early in his career as a true freshman, then got beat on a couple of plays, got, you know, put on the bench, and just never recovered after that. It was kind of never to be heard from again until Coach Pruitt arrived. So he's had a solid spring to this point. If he can continue to grow confidently, then maybe he is more of a factor consistently. But to me, it's Sean Schamberger. He's Tennessee's best lockdown cornerback prospect on the stat, or on the roster, and they need him to be better. They need him to be really good. And a lot of this, I think, comes down to toughness. You know, and I think that's where this coaching staff is really challenging a lot of their players is, you know, being tougher mentally, being tougher physically. You know, when things get tough, pushing through and don't just, you know, tap yourself out of the practice or tap yourself out of the game. You know, push through and continue to fight. And that's something this staff, I think, is having to really grind on themselves, is getting these players, you know, on the entire roster to be tougher mentally and just tougher across the board.
Big political news the university released today, the new board of trustee appointments from Governor Haslam. Two former Vol athletes on there. You've got Carol Lawson, who's now on the board of trustees, and Brad Lampley, who's a big-time attorney here in Nashville, former football player at Tennessee. Austin, can you tell us about the grassroots fight against what's been going on with the Board of Trust, and just overall what you think about these 10 appointees that were announced today?
Well, I think anytime you can add somebody like Brad Lampley, who's well-respected, a very intelligent guy, you know, obviously his son's committed to Tennessee, but this has nothing to do with that. Brad's been an integral part of all this well before Jackson was ever a prospect. And, you know, he is very well thought of, very well spoken. And then Kara Lawson in the same ilk. I mean, you know, Kara does a phenomenal job with her job with ESPN. You know, I think there would be a kind of a groundswell push to see her become a coach someday here at Tennessee. You know, if Tennessee decided to go in a different direction, I think she's just that good. She's good at everything she does. And so, you know, with the Board of Trustees, it's kind of like we talked to David Cutcliffe on The Nation last night. It's so important to have everybody rolling in the same direction. And, you know, Kara Lawson played at a time where the Lady Vols were, you know, uber successful, where they were, you know, going to Final Fours. Brad Lampley played at a time where Tennessee was winning SEC and national championships. They understand what it was like to see Joe Johnson and, you know, and Philip Fulmer and Doug Dickey and everybody be on the same page. And so I think that ultimately the Board of Trustees and, you know, everybody involved is trying to get to that point where everybody's going in the same direction and there's not this infighting, which is something that David Cutcliffe talked about last night on The Nation, that, you know, for the better part of a decade, you've had a lot of people being divisive, you know, in you know, key roles at Tennessee, whether it be all the different chancellors, all the different presidents. You know, if they can get somebody and get a group that all have the same vision, then it has a better chance that Tennessee really takes that next step from an athletic standpoint across the board.
Austin, which Masters pullover are you wearing today?
I'm not. I'm wow. Not wearing a Masters pullover today.
Shocked.
I will save that for the coming days. I've got a lot of new stuff in the wardrobe.
I bet.
After my trip down there. How much did you spend down there, Hutton? You were down there like multiple days.
I know. I kept my spending to a minimum on purpose. I knew it could get dangerous in the pro shop.
Yeah, I don't even care. It was my birthday, so I had fun.
What'd you think about the finish? I thought Spieth was going to win it, but around 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I thought Spieth was going to win the tournament.
Yeah, you know, I thought that it was set up because, you know, with golf, you know, there's such a separation there, especially at Augusta, where you get, you know, a guy that makes a run, but then, you know, the leaders still have the par fives behind, yeah, ahead of. Well, then read par 13 and 15, but birdied 12 and 14, which was, you know, basically that was basically a trade off. I thought that he would struggle to get up and down on 17, and when you know, Ricky birdied 18, I thought that Ricky may get into a playoff with him, but Reed with a couple of clutch pars on 17 and 18 and brought it home. He was the best player for 4 days, and You know, it's exciting time, you know, with Tiger coming back and all four major champions being Americans between the ages of 24 and 27. You know, hey, who knows? Maybe old man Mickelson can get the career grand slam at Shinnecock come June.
Austin Price, he is our Vols and Masters insider. You can follow him on Twitter, at Austin Priceless. Austin, thank you, man. We'll catch up with you later this week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.